grace and glory, where the saints of God will be. That sounds like home to me. That sounds like home to me, like where I want to be. There'll be no tears to dim our eyes again.
Just across the Jordan River, there's a place of everlasting joy.
Make it longer, glory.
Oh, the tree of life is blooming there forever. Is waiting there for me.
Oh, let's sing about it, church.
That sounds like home to me, like where I want to be. There'll be no tears in our eyes again. Here's where they go with the story. Grace and glory,
oh, where the saints of God will be.
That sounds like home to me.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. How many of you like the sounds of home? Getting sweeter all the time, isn't it? Well, isn't it a privilege to be in the house of the Lord tonight? What an opportunity once again God has given you and me to be in the house of the Lord. We're going to have some church here tonight. The book of Acts is still going on. I'm glad to be somewhere in that book. Aren't you glad about it tonight? Turn around, shake somebody's hand, tell them this. You're part of it too, brother, sister. Let's sing some more of that praise.
Hey.
Story as we see.
Yes, it does.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, God bless you. It's so good to see you in the house of the Lord tonight. Aren't you glad you love to come to church? I'm going to let you be seated for a little bit. We've got quite a few prayer requests and some testimonies. This is a testimony, a little bit lengthy, but I'm going to take the time to read it to you. Brother Larry Hitt sends this in. Last Monday, while using a four-wheeler to stand on, I was going to drive a fence post with a sledgehammer. It was parked on an incline, and I was standing on the back rack. My foot slipped, and my leg went through the hole in the rack all the way to the ground, and my body went the opposite direction, downhill. I pulled myself up immediately, got nauseous. I laid down for about 15 minutes to calm down a little bit. And I just started to pray. The next morning, I could put hardly any pressure, no pressure at all on my leg without terrible pain. So I got some crutches to get to the doctor's office. While in the waiting room, I just prayed and was listening to a message. While the doctor finally came in, I stood up, and when I put a little pressure on my leg, it didn't really hurt. I told him everything, and he sent me to get an x-ray. While on my way down there, I started to use the crutches, but continually just started walking without them. When I got to the x-ray desk, I placed the crutches against the wall and walked around a while the lady was working, or while the lady was watching me. I can't see with glasses on even. I didn't really know what to do, so I just picked up the crutches and told her, hallelujah, told her I didn't think I needed an x-ray. I walked out holding the crutches, and I know without a doubt that the Lord touched me in the doctor's office. Praise the one true living God, Brother Larry Hitt. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say glory. Well, it's just like our God, isn't it? Amen. Praise the Lord. Sister Naomi Daly sends this in to please pray for my sister Dolores Dyer in North Fairfield, Ohio. She has stage 4 kidney failure and starts dialysis on July the 7th. She has many health problems, needs God to move for her. Thank you for your prayer. So we just commit that to the Lord tonight. And even while we're in the service right now, Brother Ed Biskell is in the hospital having open heart surgery. So we certainly want to pray for Brother Ed Biskell that the Lord would be with our brother, give him a complete recovery, and that everything would be all right on his behalf. I want to pray for Sister Peggy Larson from Wisconsin as she recovers from emergency surgery from a brain tumor. She is having double vision, trouble speaking, and other problems resulting from the surgery. They're praying for a complete recovery as she continues to rehab, and they're asking us to join them in prayer as we pray tonight. This went over to the library. Brother Kevin Keith called to request prayer for his dad. He is scheduled for heart surgery on Thursday morning to replace a mitral valve. They hope to complete this procedure with the use of robotics, but open heart surgery may be necessary. Please pray that all will go well and that the procedure can be completed robotically. So let's pray for that need tonight, Brother Kevin Keith's father. Sister Estep was having so much pain in her back and legs and needed a physical therapist to come to her home for therapy. And the insurance was only going to pay part of the premium or part of the expense. But they have now decided they will pay for 100% of the cost. And Sister Estep wants to thank the Lord for moving on that situation. Well, we thank the Lord with her, don't we? Amen. I believe I can do better without them. Amen. Sister Ruth Louise Jacks called to get
to ask the congregation to join in prayer with her concerning her needs regarding transportation for an upcoming job interview in Charleston. Her vehicle is currently out of service and she is traveling by foot. Please pray that God will intervene concerning her needs. So we just commit that need unto the Lord tonight. God's able to give her transportation. We believe that, don't we? Brother Randy Walton called to request prayer for a relative by the name of Jalen. She is a 10-year-old girl currently at the UT hospital in very critical condition. No details were given, but he asked that we pray that God would intervene according to his perfect will. So we want to pray for that need tonight. Brother Eugene Kennedy asking us to pray for his strength. Also, Sister Janet Kennedy asked the same thing as well for strength in their body. So let's pray for those folks tonight. Sister Pat Nunley says, please pray for Tammy Tipton. She was taken to Franklin Woods Hospital for a severe case of kidney stones. They did surgery. This morning, she has been in a lot of pain and needs a healing touch. So we want to remember Tammy Tipton in prayer tonight. Brother Frank Williams says to please pray for diabetic neuropathy, a lot of pain in his legs, and the new medicine that he is now taking has so many side effects. He's asking that we would remember him in prayer tonight. This is a testimony, praise report. William Johnson went up to be prayed for two Saturdays ago for a very small pneumothorax in his right lung, which was the opposite side he recently had surgery on. He went back to the doctor today for x-rays, and his lung was back to normal. The pneumothorax was gone, and somebody say, praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to pray for Amy Hindermiller. She lives in West Virginia. She needs to gain 50 pounds. She's in the nursing home. She has two little girls who need her in the home to take care of them. So let's pray for that need tonight as we pray that the Lord will be mindful of that situation. James Willis, severe abdominal pain, gone to the doctor. Brother Wes Willis sends that in, so we want to pray for that need tonight. The Lord will be mindful of James. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about, you believe we're serving a wonderful risen Savior. Do you believe that with all your heart? Let's stand to our feet tonight. Brother Harry, sing that first verse of that song for me again. Somewhere, just across the Jordan River. Are you looking for that somewhere tonight? How many of you plan on going? How many of you want to go? How many of you, it means more to you than the whole world? Give the Lord a good hand clap of praise tonight.
Somewhere just across the Jordan River.
Hallelujah.
There's a place of everlasting joy and peace. The tree of life is blooming there forever.
Sing it to him, church.
And a crown of life is waiting there for me.
And that sounds like
say praise the Lord. Brother David Swanson, come tonight. Pray over these prayer requests. Let's just commit all these things unto the Lord. We're serving a wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Brother David, we appreciate you, buddy. God bless you.
Precious Lord Jesus, we again thank you, Lord, to be able to come to your house this evening. Thank you, Lord, for the desire that you put in our hearts, Lord. Thank you for all the blessings. Thank you for these testimonies we have, Lord. We're thankful for them, and we're thankful for the trials that we go through, because if we didn't have the trials, we wouldn't be able to have the testimonies. So we're thankful for everything, Lord. We know that you're in charge of everything, and everything's just going to work out just the way you want it to, Lord. We just pray that you now be with us in this service, Lord, You have a mind for this service. You have a purpose. Help us to get out of the way, Lord, and just to put all the thoughts of the day aside, things that we have to do in the future. Nothing's as important as your word being preached to us and being able for us to take it and assimilate it, Lord, and become that word. That's what we're waiting for, Lord, is to we become the word for our day. Help us, Lord, and nothing else matters. Bless the singing, Lord. May we enter in and help Brother Louie to create an atmosphere. Bless Brother Donnie as he brings the word, Lord. I'm sure he'll be anointed. As the word, anointed word goes forth, may we be anointed, Lord, to be able to receive it. We ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting tonight with us in the service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that would be streaming, we pray this service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Let's sing about a church rising up. Are you glad to be part of it tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him one more hand clap of praise tonight if you love him.
Rising up,
rising up,
rising up.
gone. All the miracles are done. I have some good news to bring to you. In his last days, he'll pour of his Spirit more and more. Like a mighty eagle, your strength he'll renew. Restore church,
yes,
by Malachi 4,
yes,
we're rising up.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Sister Rebecca Horniak, come on, get ready to sing for us tonight. We'll see if we've got time for another one, but we'll do at least one tonight. If we don't get the other one, we'll get it on the weekend, the Lord willing. But give Sister Rebecca a nice hand tonight as she comes to sing for you. You can be seated. God
that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt. Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today.
Waves tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind.
enjoy that. Praise the Lord. Let's stand to our feet tonight as Brother Donnie gets ready to come. Bring us the word, Lord. That was such a nice song. Thank y'all for singing that. The other song we'll get to, the Lord willing, this weekend. My fault, we went a little bit long, but we'll make it up to you. Get us the chorus. Brother Donnie's getting ready to come. Bring us the word of the Lord. You're going to pray for your pastor tonight. Let's sing Somebody Oughta Testify. Somebody oughta testify. Give me a chord and hurry. Somebody oughta testify. Yes, somebody oughta testify.
How God took the heat out of the fiery fire. Come here, Daniel, what do you have to say? The lions were made pillow for my head to lay. Somebody ought to testify. Fell down on my knees, I called on God in prayer. I thanked Him for His blessings, I named Him one by one. But most of all, I thank You, Lord, for all that You've done. Somebody ought to testify. Oh, somebody ought to testify. For God I live, for God I live.
Hallelujah. My goodness, makes you want to have a testimony, maybe. Praise the Lord. He's been so good to all of us, hasn't he? So good to all of us. Amen. Let's turn to the book of Acts, if you would. We're going to let Brother Paul testify for us a little bit. He's going to be able to testify before Agrippa and Porcius Festus. You and I may not be called to testify before them, but we want to testify for everybody that we can, for sure. And use words when you have to. I said, use words when you have to. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 26, verse 13. At midday, O King, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying, in the Hebrew tongue. So God speaks Hebrew. Speaking in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? Now remember, he's saying the pillar of fire. Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus. Well, you're talking about the shock of your life. I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things which I will appear unto thee. Future visitations and revelations. Praise the Lord. Amen. How many would like to be remembered tonight before the Lord? Let's bow our heads together if you would. Lord Jesus, we love you so much, Father. We thank you for your kindness and your mercy to us, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity that we could be gathered together again, Lord, on Wednesday night. Oh, how I love church on Wednesday. Amen. Thank you so much, Lord, that we can be able to come in the middle of the week, Father, together here. And Lord, I hope I'm not speaking out of turn, but it seems to me you like Wednesday awful well, too. It just seems like every time we show up on Wednesday, you're here, too. I believe you like to go to church on Wednesday as well as we do. So I pray that you'd take your word tonight and speak to us, Father. You see our needs. Lord, you see the direction that I've studied. And Lord, we're looking at the continuation of the book of Acts. And you see the thoughts and the verses here, the effort that I've put forth to try to look at it. But if there's a need that lies out of the confines or the direction by which I've studied, I pray you'd make me so sensitive to the Spirit of God that I would be able to yield myself, Lord. If it's no more than a sentence or two or a paragraph or just a couple of minutes, help me that I can yield to the Holy Ghost. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to us tonight. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. You know, if you've read this, I'm sure that probably... maybe many of you have read these verses since last Wednesday. A lot of you had that deer in the headlight look whenever I was reading some of these verses and comparing them to the other places where Paul had mentioned this experience. And this is something that I think sometimes people don't take into consideration, that whenever Paul is giving this account before Agrippa, one reason that it seems to differ from the other places is that this is what is called a summation of several things that have come together. And he's actually pulling it together. A summation is used by a lawyer, a defense attorney that is coming together, or the prosecuting attorney, and he will begin to summarize everything that this supposed person has done, and on this certain day they done this and done that and went there and done that, and they are telling it as if it happened bang, 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 and it may not have happened exactly in that time order, but they are giving the summation of what happened in the overall text of it all. Now, this is exactly what Paul is doing in this account before King Agrippa. Now, for the people who try to look at this and they compare chapter 9 and they compare chapter 22 and then they compare chapter 25 and then they find this part that was not in chapter 9 and they find this part which was not in chapter 22, and actually what Paul is doing is giving the factual account which took place in chapter 9, and he's also merging together what Ananias had told him whenever he finally comes and talked to him. He's also telling them what the Lord Jesus told him in chapter 9, and then he's also going to give them a consummation of what the Lord appeared to him later. But when Paul tells it here, it is the summation of all of those events as they have now come together. So people who study it then and they read it with this being a factual event, then they say, oh, there's a problem here and there's a problem there. No, the problem ain't there. The problem is here. The problem is here. And that's, I think many times that's what happens whenever people are looking for faults and so on in the message of the hour, and they compare the prophet telling this account here and this account there and that account there. It's the same with David. It's the same with Matthew. It's the same with different authors when they would begin to write, and they would actually give the summation of prophecy, and it makes it sound as if though that they are giving you a factual event or a record of those events and that's not what they're doing at all. Then people, the atheists, any of you that's ever visited atheist websites, you'll find that that's one thing that they do. That they will try to take these different records of events and they'll put it together and say, well, here the Bible says it here and here the Bible says it that. So which one is right? Well, you know, only a knucklehead's even looking for such stuff like that anyway. A person of faith knows they're both right. So there has to be an understanding, but you'll never be able to explain it to somebody that's questioning it anyway, because they're trying to understand it by knowledge and not a real faith in the Word. So here when Paul now begins to bring all of this together, and it must have been absolutely overwhelming to be able to hear it in this way. And it's the same way, you know, I don't know too much, but I have studied the message and the Scripture a little bit in my life, and so I've found the same record bears true in many, many things down through the Scripture and through the prophets. And that's why whenever the New Testament was written, that the apostles would begin to quote, and they would begin to preach, as saith the prophet, as saith the prophet, as saith the prophet. Now they are actually bringing together a summation of the messianic prophecies which had been said maybe thousands of years before it happened, and they would put it together as if so Isaiah's chapter 26 and chapter 7 was written on the same page. But when you go to looking for that verse of Scripture, you find it's actually part of chapter 7, part of chapter 9, and part of chapter 26 all merged together, but yet Paul would quote it as if it's all one verse. So what's he doing? He's giving you the summation of the messianic prophecy of how it come to pass. But people will read it, and then they will go to looking for that Scripture. I mean, those of you that you read the Scripture in John chapter 1, and you hear Brother Branham say it, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. You know, and in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. As a preacher friend of mine many, many years ago, he was sitting in a hotel room, and he didn't have a Bible and a computer with him. He went on a hunting trip, so he opened up the desk drawer there, and he got a Gideon's Bible out, and he opened it up to John 1 and 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he began to read down through there, and he told the buddy that was there with him, he said, there's a misprint in this Bible, because they've not printed it right. Because what he had heard all the years of his life was Brother Branham quoting verse 1 and verse 2, then jumping to verse 14. So the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Well, once the brother read that, he said, well, there's a misprint in this Bible. Why? Because Brother Branham was giving the summation of verse 1 and verse 2, which led to verse 14. So the brother heard this over and over and over again. So this was the way he looked for it in the Scripture. You understand? Now, when Paul is standing here before these great people, supposedly of that day, he's actually giving the summation or condensing over a period of years, actually. Now, remember, this has been several years since this event had happened. So he's giving the order up to the present time of what the Lord has done. Now, watch what he says, but arise and stand upon thy feet. Now, remember, it was the same order by which Adonai had appeared to Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 1. It was in the same similar sense by which God had called Jeremiah. It was in a similar sense to when God had called Moses. So now God is giving this direct call. But if you look for these words of what was actually recorded in Acts chapter 9, you're not going to find it being said that way. But now what Paul is doing is giving the summation of now he's looking back and realizing, who knows if Paul even knew that he was a prophet at that time or not. Now Paul just got saved. So who knows whether he even knew that he was a prophet or not, much less a prophet of the age. He was just now meeting the Lord Jesus. He knows he's a persecutor of the saints. He's a student of the Rabbi Gamaliel. But did he know that he was a prophet? I doubt very seriously that he did. But now as he's giving the summation of what God has done, now he's pulling in his call, and in retrospect, he's looking back to what God has done. So he's now giving into the impression of what what God had spoke to him. So out of what God had made known to him, he's now pulling the call together and looking back in years' time. And this is what God was wanting me to do. So it was the same Adonai that called Ezekiel, that called Jeremiah, that called all the rest of the prophets. So he said, stand up to me, stand up. And he said, rise up, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this same purpose. Now these words mentioned word for word in chapter 9, chapter 22, they are not. But this is the summation of what God is doing now in the man's life. So God had appeared to him in a personal presence. Now this is what is made known to us, of course, by the light of God. And the Lord Jesus had come upon the earth and he had done the work of kinsman redeemer. That could not be done in the form of the pillar of fire. That could not be done in the light that proceeded out of that in the beginning of God, when in the beginning was the Word. It could not, happen that way, but it had to be made flesh in order to be able to die, because there had to be a blood that was shed in order to pay your price. So now that the blood had been shed, now he turns back in to spirit form. So whenever he appears to Paul, he appears in the form of the same light that appeared to Moses, the same light that appeared to the children of Israel, and he said, I am Jesus. Aren't you glad he's appeared in this day the same way? Now, here Paul is being identified with the same pillar of fire that Moses was. Amen. So here is God calling a man, identifying him with the pillar of fire. Now, of course, I realize we only have his words for it. Y'all wasn't there. I wasn't there. Many other people wasn't there. But for myself, I will take this man's word for it. I'm not sure if anybody had an iPhone. I'm pretty sure that they didn't. I'm pretty sure they didn't have Droids, Samsungs, and so on and so on. But yet this man gave us his word, and by God vindicating the man over and over again, I just don't believe the man was a liar. I believe the man was a true man sent from God. I personally don't need any proof on YouTube that Paul actually met this. I personally don't need any FBI documents. I do not need the Senate to come together and have a hearing, or the Congress to prove it. Paul said it, I believe it. That's just how simple I am. Now, God has called him, and now he's going to give to them this comparison of what God has done. So it appears to him now in the condensed account of the accumulation of several years and several experiences merged together. So he is telling them in an ongoing way. Now, if this makes sense to you, that Paul is not describing this now as a record of factual events that actually happened on that particular day. So it is the summation of a story, or it is the tying together of links. This event went with that one, with that one, with that one, and it all tied together, and now he presents a story. I hope you can understand that this is the way your life is written before God the same way. Now, you're looking at one good highlight maybe in your life, and then you think about all your mistakes and failures. Man, wouldn't you have a tremendous life story if God put all the good things, all the wonderful things, all the powerful things, and God dropped out all the human error, all the mistakes, all the failures, all that sort of thing, and God linked only all the good, wonderful, righteous, powerful, revelative type thing that God done in your life. Believe it or not, that is your life story before the presence of God. Now, I know we think, oh, there's page and paragraph and one chapter after another of my humanity. There may be in your memory, but in the mind of God, it's only the good part, the revelation part. Amen. The powerful part, hallelujah, the times when you stood, the times when you failed is not even written in your life story. The times that you fell short of the glory of God, it's not even there. Did Paul not have mistakes in between these things? He did. But you know what? There wasn't no need in bringing them up, because Paul ain't preaching Paul. Paul's preaching Jesus. Amen. So if we're going to preach us, we'll have to preach our failures and our shortcomings. But if we're going to preach Jesus, we can preach perfection. If we're going to preach Jesus, we can preach the resurrection. Amen. If we're going to preach him, we can preach he is our hope, he is our joy, he is our peace, he is our hope. Hallelujah to God. Oh my. You realize some of the modernist theologians now, whenever they read and want to explain about Paul's great experience that happened on the road to Damascus, that some of the modern theologians say that Paul actually had epilepsy. And when Paul was there on this horse riding to Damascus, that Paul went into an epileptic seizure. Some have went to say, now some theologians don't take that explanation, but their explanation is that it was very hot and very dry, and it was about noonday, and they was in a very dry parched place, and actually what happened to Paul was that Paul had a sunstroke. Now I personally agree with that view, that it was a S-O-N stroke. I've had the same kind. It didn't leave me paralyzed. It set me free. Amen. It was beholding the brilliance of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. How many's had that same sunstroke? Amen. It was a S-O-N stroke, not an S-U-N stroke. Now, can you imagine theologians, people that stand in the pulpit and give years and years and years of their life and reading the Bible and studying the Bible, and this is what they come up with? Oh, my goodness. This is the conclusion that they gather together out of decades of study, that Paul either had epilepsy or he had a sunstroke. You can imagine how much supernatural happens in their church. You can imagine how much supernatural happens in their life. They don't even believe in it. So they explained it all away. Aren't you glad you've got a simple faith tonight that just believes what God says and takes God at His word? Oh, hallelujah. Now, this man now that is, has been a persecutor of the name of the Lord Jesus, he has persecuted the person of the Lord Jesus in the form of his bride on the earth. Now, notice Jesus does not say, you are persecuting my church. He does not say, you are persecuting my bride. But you are persecuting me, as if though it was the very person of the Lord Jesus himself. Well, that's because it was. It was him in bride form. Now, what was it? It was Jesus in the form of the feet upon the earth. Well, glory. Now, remember, whenever he reappears according to the last day, and he lets the sign be known out yonder, and let the seven angels appear, what form did it take? Now, in the days of Elijah, Elijah needed some rain. So what did God do? He sent his servant down there, and he said, what do you see? Nothing. Go back and look again. Go back. He kept going back and he said, well, I've seen a cloud down there look like, sort of like a man's hand. Now, the hand age was a good age for the days of Elijah, but you know what? It wasn't working this day of Elijah. We didn't need the hand, we needed the head. Glory. So what happened out yonder in the west whenever they took the picture of it and the constellation of the seven angels? Although they're down there, I can't prove. I ain't worried about what you can or cannot prove. I ain't following you. I'm following a vindicated prophet. If he said it was there, then it was there. Do I understand it all? No. Can I tie it all together? No. No more than I can tie what Paul said together. But I will stand with Paul, not you. Praise the Lord. Come on now, saints. Now, whatever happened there, what did God do? Allowed it to be taken, and what shape was it? It was the head. And if you'll notice the head, when you turn the picture around the right way, then the head is looking on the earth. Wonder what he's looking for. The rest of his body, of course. Amen. It's Jesus again. It's Jesus again. And he's looking for the rest of his body on the earth. So it is a headship message that comes to bring the body back to a full place of restoration, so the mystical body, which has been baptized into Jesus Christ by the Holy Ghost, is getting ready for the cycle of the resurrection. Amen. God appears to his messengers in this way. Now, each of us are not going to have these type experiences with God. We don't need them. Oh, Brother Donnie, I wish I could do that. You don't need that kind of place with God. There's only one Moses. There's only one Paul. We have no record to where James or Andrew, Bartholomew, Simon, Zelotes, any of the rest of the apostles ever had this type of experience with God. They didn't need it. But for his office, Paul needed this type of thing. Now, you imagine Peter sending before some of these great men or some of the other men, they were not called to do it. When God calls a man for a purpose, God gifts him in that purpose. Same way with you, whether you're a preacher or not. Notice this. He said, arise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister. I told you last Wednesday night, the word minister is an under rower, or one who works in the galley of a galley ship. So it's not the captain, it's not the man in charge, but it is a man who's working under the captain. Well, praise the Lord. I realize there's some preachers around the message think the good old gospel ship ought to be named after them. Or it ought to at least be named after their church. Sorry, you're in the wrong naval, whatever we are. You're in the wrong place, pal. This ain't named after no man. God don't want this move named after Brother Branham. He didn't want it named after Paul. They was not called Paulinstos. They were not called Paulinos in Antioch. They were called Christians. If you're called a Reaganite, you better move up. Well, hallelujah. Reagan is not the name of redemption. There's no salvation in the name of Reagan. It's only in the name of Jesus Christ. There's no salvation in the name of Branham. There's no salvation in the name of Paul. There's only one name by where salvation is in, and that's the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, Paul, I'm going to make you, you're going to be under me. Now, you're going to be given a great place, but you'll always be under me. And of those things in which I will, prophetic now, Christ letting him to understand, there will be future revelations of visions and also endowment of dreams and visions and so on. Inspiration by which Paul would be able to comprehend the mystery of the ages. And that's why that Paul writes about things that the rest of the apostles never even wrote about. Even Peter, when he referred to some of Paul's things, that he said, my beloved brother Paul, which writes many things which are hard to be understood. So here is Peter, an apostle that walked with the Lord Jesus. But yet Peter's allotment of the understanding of the word was not as great as Paul's capacity. So whenever Peter would read Paul's writings, Peter would say, I'll tell you one thing, Paul writes things it's hard for me to understand. Come on now. Well, you mean God done that in the New Testament? That's the way he started out the New Testament church. He'll end the New Testament church the same way. We're never all going to be in the same plateau of understanding. God gives us understanding according to our call, position, and office. And the church said, that's exactly the way he started out the church. He'll close it out the same way. Now, to this also, God gave astonishing power and signs and wonders and supernatural. This man could carry a bunch of sticks, and we'll look at it in a few weeks. He could carry a bunch of sticks for firewood, and a poisonous snake would climb out of there and bite the man on the hand, and he'd shake it off in the fire and go on. Now these people, these heathens, they look at him and they say, the man was a murderer. The man, now justice has taken care of him. And then after he didn't die, they changed him from a murderer to being a god. Right, but where did Peter ever do that? Where did James ever do that? Where did Bartholomew ever do that? They didn't. But yet it was part of the power allocated to this man, so people would think Paul was greater, that they would be able to adore Paul. No, for the office and for the call, for those that are called to be in such a position, they need more vindication than somebody like me. They need more supernatural, the presence of God, than somebody like me or Brother Terry or Brother David. Is God going to be with us? Sure he is. If God ain't with me, then you need to find another church. If all I've got's words, move. Go somewhere else. Because if all I've got's words, I'm not a true God called man. Uh-oh. Notice now in verse 17, we'll get to it in a minute. Delivering thee from the people. Now watch how Jesus addresses it. Remember now, this is the summation of several visitations. So he says, delivering thee from the people, but he does not refer to them as their nationality. But notice how that he goes on, and from the Gentiles unto whom I will now send thee. So the people are the Jews. So here it is in a twofold manner. Now the Lord Jesus letting him know, look, you're going to be hated. hated. You're going to be despised. But just so you know, I'm going to deliver you from the people and from the Gentiles. The Jews are going to hate you, but I'm going to deliver you. And the Gentiles are going to hate you, but I'm going to deliver you. Boy, this is a real commission, ain't it? Man, this will really give you joy in your heart. They're going to hate you. They're going to beat you up. They're going to whip you. They're going to let you down the wall in a basket. You're going to go through all kinds of things, but don't worry about nothing because I'm with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm with you. I'll deliver you. Now, the Lord Jesus letting him know, you're going to be persecuted. The people of the Jews would immediately become irrevocable enemies to this man. As they loved him before when he was on their side, once he leaves and becomes part of this Jesus move and whatever more they call it, they hated the man with such a passion and they sought to destroy him everywhere the man went. Well, the Lord Jesus knew that and he shared this with Paul so he would not be discouraged. Friends, I know sometimes whenever we preach, especially as ministers and more, we want results. So many people come up to the altar, so many people come in the prayer line. This happened, that happened, that's all part of the work of God. But sometimes the work of God is preaching a sermon and it will bring a person to a spot they'll cross the line. They'll cross the line and they'll never have a desire again to come to the house of God. That's just as much the work of God as casting out devils, raising the dead, healing the sick. Oh, I know we don't enjoy it as well, but it is. This is what Paul is doing on this journey. He's preaching to one king after another, potentate after another, after another. No signs, no wonders, no miracles. Isn't it amazing? Before Felix, not one sign of supernatural. Before Porcius Festus, not one sign of supernatural. Before Agrippa, not one sign of supernatural. Yet get among a bunch of believers, signs and wonders and supernatural was everywhere. And no doubt they desired, remember when they questioned Jesus? They desired to see it from him. But it depends on your desire why you want to see it. I love seeing miracles myself, don't you? I love seeing our God move among us. And if you don't think our God's among us, you need to pinch your conscience and wake up and realize he is among us. It's him doing these works. It ain't us. It ain't your pastor. It's the Lord God among us. I love doing it, but I don't want it so people will say I'm special. I don't want signs and wonders and healings and deliverance and miracles in our church so people will move here from all over everywhere and say, oh my, this is the church. This is the man. Forget it. That ain't why we want it. We want it because our God specializes in such things. And the prophet said, where he is, there is supernatural. And he says it, amen, perfect faith. He said, we see apostolic times moving among us, but we want to see more of it. Oh my. Notice now, Jesus mentions the people first, which is, of course, is the Jews. Paul follows in this sequence exactly the way God gave it to him. So he preaches to the Jews first. Then whenever, of course, the Jews turn away, he turns to the Gentiles. And when they do, he said, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. And from there, of course, then he started traveling about. Now watch, this is part of the mission of which the summation of what was revealed to him later in verse 18. To open their eyes. Oh, praise God. To turn them from darkness to light. But now remember, you don't find this recorded on the way to Damascus. This is the summation of what God has revealed to the man. You understand? To turn them. Now, friend, this is why God sent us a message in the last day. Very same thing. To open, let's say it this way, our eyes. And to turn us from darkness to light. And from the power of Satan unto God. And that they might receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now remember, all of this, none of this was recorded by Luke in chapter 9. None was recorded by Luke in chapter 22. This is a further revelation after the pillar of fire comes to Paul. And then when he makes this real to him, and now Paul is summing all of this up with more clarity. Now, may I say this, that this is not just so for Paul. It's not just for Paul to be able to bring light. It's not just for Paul to be able to open the eyes of the blind spiritually. Because what happened to him in the natural sense, he is now going to turn around by the grace of God. And he's going to be the channel by which God will use to do the same thing supernaturally to others. Amen. So what did God do? The light appeared to him, the Son of Man, the pillar of fire. The light appeared to him. It initially made him blind. And then through the ministry, amen, of another servant of God, his eyes came open. Now watch, here the Lord Jesus come in such a great brilliant light that he put his eyes out and he couldn't see. And then Ananias descended and he said, go down and hunt out for one in the street called Straight. And he said, he prays, and Lord, I've heard of him. He persecutes your people. He does this and that and the other. He said, but he prays. Amen. You imagine Ananias as a man walking in there a little bit shaky, a little bit tore up, and kind of tore up in his heart, thinking, oh my goodness, I sure hope that was the Lord that spoke to me. If I didn't, I'm a dead man, sure as the world. But he walked in there and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, whom you persecute, has appeared unto me and told me to go. Oh, hallelujah. What's going to happen to Paul in a natural sense? God is going to use Paul in the spiritual sense thousands of times over. Now Paul would be able to relate to one being in darkness, and by the name of Jesus and the power of a Holy Ghost ministry, Paul's eyes came open. Not only did his natural eyes come open, but he baptized him in the name of the Lord Jesus, and his spiritual eyes come open as well. This is a real man of God that can open eyes, is when his own has been opened first. Friend, I'll tell you, this is why we got preachers pulling away from this word, because they've never had their own soul opened by the word. Their reasoning has been opened. Their intellectual faith has been opened. But if their soul ever gets open, there ain't no man that can close it. That's right. Why? Because the same pillar of fire appeared to him. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Notice this in the Ephesian church age, page 74. Paul founded the church at Ephesus about the middle of the first century. This enables us to set the date of the beginning of the Ephesian church age about 53 AD. His manner of ministering set the pattern that all future messengers were to aspire to, and actually sets the pattern for every true minister of God. Now, this ain't just select preachers. This is every God-called man. The capacity and the range may be different, but the aspects of these traits will be in every God-called man. Do some men have more supernatural than others? It's inevitable. Down to the scripture they did. In reality today, are there certain men that God uses and prayer lines and things like that? There is. They seem to be more anointed. It does not mean that other men should not do it. They should. Why is that? I don't know. It's the way God gives it out. But yet we realize, but in that it is the same pattern, and if it's a God-called man, he'll fit right in there. You know, sometimes it's not always the man that gets so anointed and sweat's dripping off his elbows and he's just standing there wringing wet. Sometimes it may be a little old guy and he stands there and prays a real quiet prayer. And he just prays that, and people's looking for thunderbolts to come out of heaven and just knock the fire out of him. And they stand and say, well, I didn't feel nothing. I didn't get nothing. He has to go home. And that devil left him. Why? Because that man may not pray like Brother Darrell. That man may not pray like Brother David. He may pray in his own way. But it's not so much the energy or the human energy of the human fervency that he's putting forth. It's the call of God in the man's life. And the man recognizes who he is. You know how I cast out devils? You want to know how that I cast them out? You want to know how Brother David and these other brothers do? We've got to have faith in our position. If you don't believe you're called of God to do so, you better leave it alone. I guarantee you that. But if God has called you to do it, you stand there and you you meet Satan at a challenge and you say, in the name of Jesus, take your hand off of my sister or off of my brother. Who is a mortal to contest a demon which is thousands of years old? A demon which was an angel, which has almost an omnipresence, an ability to appear and disappear, move from one dimension to another, and a mortal would stand there and challenge that? Yes, sir, if he's a God called man, he will. Why? Because he has faith, not in himself. He's not faithful. Oh, I felt something. He knows he's called of God to do so. Amen. Notice this now. He said, every true minister of God, though he would not attain to such heights. This is the difference, see. It's on the same plateau as far as that. But the heights attained will be according to the gift of God. In the prophetic realm, I said, Paul's minister had a threefold quality as follows. First of all, Paul was absolutely true to the word. He never deviated it, oh my, for no matter what the cost. Every God called man does the same thing. It don't matter the difference if people turn against you, you stand for the word. Galatians chapter 1 verse 8 to 9, but though we are an angel from heaven preaching the other gospel unto you than which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Now is Paul bragging about what he had to say? No, he knew he had the word of God. Paul was telling them, look, if I come back and preach something different than the original word I gave you, I'm wrong. God cannot give a revelation and then give an opposite one. God can give a revelation, then enhance that revelation and make it more clear and more personified. But he cannot give two opposite things. Totally impossible. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than we have preached, let him be blessed, and let him be on TV, and let him... Well, you can say why most of America don't believe the Bible, and that's why we're where we are now. That's why there's bombs hanging in Russia with our name wrote on them. Notice again this scripture that he makes in the reference to Paul in Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face. Who do you think gives you the authority to withstand the Pope of the Catholic Church? Now, Peter wasn't the Pope, but they say that he was. Now, this is a pretty bad deal. I'm telling you one thing. Paul rebuked the Pope. Thank you, Lord. That was good. Notice, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. Now notice the point that the prophet is emphasizing to us in the church age book, that a real true minister of God doesn't leave the word for personality. Amen. You know what some of the message preachers would have done around this message? They would have never mentioned Peter's mistake. They would have compromised. Well, that's Peter. I mean, you know, Jesus gave him the key. Who in the world could say anything against Peter? Now, look, friends, I'm not trying to be a smart aleck or nothing. If I'd have stood there on that day, I'd have stood with Paul. I'd had bust Peter's hide, too. I bust mine. Why shouldn't I bust his? Praise the Lord. A real God called man don't cut corners for deacons, deacons' children, deacons' grandchildren, this man's boys, that little girl, these people donate big. That's not a God called man. My. Now this is one of the signs of a real man of God. So preachers that don't do this are not fit to be on the pulpit. Notice now what Peter done. He said, whenever I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles, not as the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as the Jews? Now you remember what the basis of the story was when the brethren came from James. And James, of course, did not have the understanding that Paul did. James was a Jew. His understanding was pretty much Jewish. He really struggled with the Gentile church. He struggled with the Gentiles even be saved, much less receiving the Holy Ghost. And being acceptable as the called of God, James struggled with it. It was not James' position. But God had given Paul. Well, hallelujah. Now, you'd imagine this had been really tough, okay? Because these guys were some of the original founding fathers of the original message. And they was with the prophet. I mean, they was with Jesus, and they went fishing with him and hunting with him and everything. And yet here another guy comes in years later, and he has more understanding than they do. And I mean, it causes a real problem. So they're supposed to sit down and hear him. They're supposed to hear some things that he has to say. Well, I'll tell you, spirits ain't dead, are they? Now, so whenever the brethren came from James and they come into Galatia there, and they come among the Galatian Christians, Peter had been eating pig, and you know, they'd been eating ribs and ham and all kinds of stuff. And boy, Peter was out there fellowshipping with them Gentiles, and they're just having a big old time in the Lord. And then after they got done fellowshipping around the Word, they had a big meal, and they had all kind of Gentile food and things that Peter had never eaten all of his life. And you're there together. Then here comes the brethren from Jeffersonville. I mean the brethren from Jerusalem, and so they come from Jerusalem, from James, and whenever they do, and Peter sees them, he said, got any Listerine? Got any kosher food? Wipe that hog off my breath. Well, you can't get rid of them smoked ribs. Smell it. Kosher perfume. Brethren, how are y'all? How's James? All the brethren doing? All the Jew brethren. How's all the Jews? How's the temple? How's the law doing? How's all the sacrifices doing? And Paul looked at him and dropped that eye. And he said, "Hey, Peter, you're a hypocrite." Sweet Jesus. A true man of God does not leave the Word for feeling's sake. That's a real God called man. I said unto Peter before them all, thou being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not so as the Jews. Why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? So now you've eaten with them, you've danced with them, you've shouted with them, you've hugged their neck and called them brothers. And as soon as they come from Paul, and Paul writes another place, and he went on to say that even Barnabas got caught up in this dissimulation. Barnabas was Paul's chum that he went around and helped win these Gentiles. And even Barnabas got caught up in it, trying to use some of his kosher perfume. Oh my, 1 Corinthians 14, what? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Oh my, they was questioning Paul on this and that and the other. Some of them women wanted to preach and they wanted to bob the hair. And the Corinthian women, boy, they was some stout women there, brother. Amen. They all wanted to preach and handle the word. And Paul said, what? You think the word of God come out of you? Let any man, if he's going to acknowledge anything, let him acknowledge the things that I say unto you. This ain't my ideas. This ain't my opinion. It's the commandments of God. Oh my, can you imagine some of them original folks in that message, and they said, who does he think he is? Notice the prophet said, notice that Paul was unorganized, but spirit led. Amen. As when God moved upon Moses to lead Israel out of Egypt, Jerusalem's council never sent Paul out. Well, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Nor did it have any power or jurisdiction over him. I fellowship with lots of brothers around this entire world, but no council tells me where to go. No council tells me I can't go here, I can't preach for this brother or preach in that country. I'll follow the leading of the Holy Ghost. Oh, I know people can't comprehend it. You know, Carol Surgeon the other day, he was talking to me. He said, you know, mentioned something about the Lord. I said, yes, sir, I'm a Christian. I'm a preacher. Oh, what denomination? Always why? Because people, it is a badge of identification. What denomination? I said, we're none. We're independent. Really? No denomination. No. He asked me again the other day when Carol and I went to ask me again. So what church you say you were? None. We're no denomination. People just can't comprehend it. Now, if you'd say Church of Christ, you know, Church of God, this, that, the other, they can identify you. Whenever you say you're independent, unorganized, non-denominational, it's like you ain't got no name over you, so they don't know what you are. So they say, y'all drink Kool-Aid? No, we drink Gatorade. What color? Depends on what color they set out for me. I never know. Oh, I'm out. Well, y'all got some weird ideas? Well, probably compared to your church, yes. But they line right up with the scripture. What? Came the word of God out of the Church of God headquarters? What? Came the word of God out from John Smith? What? The word of God came out from this organization? It came from the Lord Jesus Christ by his prophets. Oh my. Notice this. God and God alone did the sending and the leading. Paul was not of men, but of God. Every God-called man should be the same way. Does that mean we don't have fellowship? Of course not. Paul had fellowship with the brethren. But he's got to be led of God. Galatians 1:1. Paul an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ. And God the Father who raised him from the dead. Galatians chapter 2 verse 3. But neither Titus, who was with me being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us unto bondage. What are they wanting to do? Throw circumcision on them again. To whom we, oh my, listen to this, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour. That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Paul never left the word. If he had to make people mad, well, if that's what we got to do today, let's just do it. Let's just get it done, get it over and go on. Sometimes we'll make people happy, sometimes we'll make them shout, sometimes we'll make them pout. That's today's menu, let's do it. Why? We're not leaving the word. Whatever God wants us to do, hey, that's what we're going to do today. Secondly, his ministry was in the power of the Spirit, thereby, I love this statement, thereby demonstrating the spoken and written word. Now remember, this is the pattern for every God called man. And I, brethren, when I came to you, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom. It could have been. It could have been. He was a smart man. But he says, in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Acts 14:8. And there was a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice. Well, he must have been confident, wasn't he? Instead of coming over and saying, do you believe? If you don't, that's okay. Don't make any move and they'll never know it. Don't want to make me look bad, okay? But he said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. Now, isn't that strange? This guy had never walked, and Jesus done something that had never been done before. Most folks crawl before they walk. This guy leaped before he walked. This is contrary to nature. It should not be this way. But do you imagine the same God who said, let there be light, took this man's mouth and spoke to this man, amen, and the man leaped. The man actually leaped up and stood up on his feet and took off walking. Do you believe our God's the same today? Hallelujah. He leaped and walked. Notice Acts chapter 20 verse 9. And there sat in the window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him said, trouble not yourself, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again, he had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even to the break of day. So he departed. You talking about church all night long? He's God. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. I imagine not. That means they was a whole lot comforted. Acts 28:7. In the same quarters were processions of the chief man of the island, whose name is Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him. And what? Good Lord. Healed him. What? Y'all don't believe that. Nah. Paul laid hands on him and healed him. Glory. Amen. To whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed. Was it to make Paul look like the big guy? Was it to make Paul where Paul could run circumstances? You take the shot of me praying for this guy. Let me hold my breath there. Let me get this dynamic thing. You realize that's what Hitler did. You understand that Hitler had this photographer that went around with him everywhere. And they would photograph Hitler at different moves. And then they would record his audio speeches. And they would catch what was so moved the crowd. And what moved them all year, he would use here and there and there. And they'd notice his dynamics of the look on his face and the expression on his face and his hands and all the way he would do it. And they'd found what moved the people. That's the way a lot of these Hollywood preachers are today. Oh, they got their coat just right. They got their vest just right. They got their tie just right. Ain't nothing but psychologists in the pulpit. That's all they are. A good dose of the Holy Ghost will scare the liver out of them. Come on now, they ain't born again. Come on, children, they're not born again. They're just like an old hybrid mule standing up there braying all day long about how good you are, and send this so-and-so to so-and-so, P.O. Box 1396, Dallas, Texas, 78603. God bless you for sending your seed offering, and God lays it on your heart to send $1,000. Then God may give you back $10,000, and he may not, too, because you're false supporting a false prophet. Amen. But what did Paul do it for? The glory of God. Hallelujah. Notice again in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Thirdly, he had the evident fruit of his God-given ministry. 2 Corinthians 12:11, I am become a fool and glorying, yea, ye have compelled me, for I have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Why? God called him. 1 Corinthians 9:2, if I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. You are the proof that I'm a God-called man. Paul said, look, I brought the word. I've begotten you to Christ. Your new birth has been brought forth, and you are regenerated by a man himself who has been born. What was of the people that come through preaching circumcision? Could they produce new births? They could only produce theology. They could produce fussing, arguing, fighting, debating. Why? That's all they can do. It takes a son of God to produce new births. Oh my. Again, he says, I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Amen. Paul had been the means of bringing in multitudes of the Gentile sheep. He fed them and cared for them until they brought forth righteous fruit and were prepared to meet the Lord as a part of the Gentile bride. This is the God-given fruit of the man's ministry. If you're going to follow a man, look at the man. Make sure the man meets these requirements. If you're looking for a pastor, if you're looking for a church, see what the man's preaching. See what the church is built upon. Is it built upon him, his reputation? Is it built upon music? Is it built upon shouting? Is it built upon emotion? Or is the foundation of that church the Word? And no matter if grandma likes it or grandpa don't like it, they'll stand for the Word no matter what anybody says. Oh my. Notice this. Again, he says, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light. The twofold issue of his work is spiritual illumination, of course. Having been blind to the existence of this great truth, God now illuminates him. He's going to be a further tool by which God will illuminate others. And bring them, deliver them from the power of Satan to be able to make known in the power of God. So they're moving from the state of bondage and the state of corruption and the state of blindness to the state of liberty and liberality of the children of God. All this is Christ's works, of course, which was originally projected out of the very heart of God. The Old Testament could not produce it. Now he said, Paul, I've sent you to open their eyes. I've sent you to bring great illumination. Look in verse 19. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Glory to God. Oh my, can you imagine? A great deal of Christianity hung on his agreeing with this commission. The gracious voice of God had spoken to him, the Lord Jesus himself. But we know how he works. He speaks and he waits for us to respond. He waited for Mary when Gabriel come and said, you're going to, the Holy Ghost is going to overshadow you, and this is going to happen and that's going to happen. He waits for her, pauses and waits. Be it unto me according to thy word. Now, here's his response back to Agrippa. So this is what I've done. I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Many decisions have been made by mortal men down through time. The billions of people that have lived on the earth. Kings, monarchs, and potentates that have made decisions about war. Made decisions about conquering this country or taking that nation. But oh, what an important, valuable decision was made by this man this day in a moment of time. In the presence of that pillar of fire, he can no longer see. Oh, fear running over him, anxiety running over him, surprises running over him. And now the pause of the Holy Ghost waiting for the response of the man. Amen. I believe, friend, God is now taking that same word that was started out with a Gentile bride, bringing it right back to us again. He's waiting for your response, Hattie Wright. He's waiting for you to say the right word. Oh, God ain't going to just take a pastor and have him to pray for so-and-so. But you know what? Your very deliverance might be in your mouth. Your very deliverance of your children might be in your mouth. God may drop it in your heart. And you say, God, save my boys. God, save my daughter. Save my husband. It may not be me that says it. It may not be one of the preachers that says it. But God may speak it right out of your mouth. Oh my. How many souls, how many churches, how many works, how many scriptures, how many books of the New Testament are now hinged on this moment of time? And Paul's response is, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. I didn't even know which way to go. But I got up and told the guys that was with me. And they tied my hands by a rope like this and tied me behind a horse And I told them to take me to the street called Straight. And there I'm to seek out a man's, and you know, he's a tanner. And whenever you get there, ask for it where he's at. So here goes Paul going along to there. Now he's met the pillar of fire. He's agreed. He's agreed. So now here the vision is now beginning to unfold. And he goes down through there and he waits and he lays there and he waits and he lays there. And as God always does, God deals on both sides. So here's Ananias, a man which was, you know, not that long had come to the faith. A man that had already knew about the persecution going on in Jerusalem. And the Spirit of God speaks to him. It's a good thing some of these folks in this day that the tape idea wasn't there, because they'd have told Ananias, God don't talk no more. They'd have told Ananias, he'd have to play a tape. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, what if they'd have recorded the very voice of Jesus? What if they'd recorded the voice of Jesus and would have had tapes of the Lord Jesus himself? And then there'd been people say, well, this is all we need. We don't need no more. Hang with me now tight. There'd have been things that the Lord Jesus would have said on those tapes that Paul later had to further exemplify and bring further illumination on the word that the Lord Jesus. And yet some of them others said, well, you know, we're just saying what Jesus said. We're just playing the tapes of Jesus. Tapes of Jesus would have been fine. But Jesus said, you know what? I'm going to leave some sick laying around Jerusalem. I'm going to leave some sick around Beth Barbara and, you know, this and that and the other, because I'm going to commit my ministry into my boys. And whenever I lead captivity captive, I'm going to give gifts unto men. Amen. I'm going to leave the blind. I'm going to leave this one. I'm going to leave that one, because I know my boys is going to have the power of the word. So you know what? Jesus didn't say, now boys, I'm going to record my sermons, and what you want to do is just go around and play tapes. Well, Peter could have rewind, fast forward, and everything he knew to do. He had never found them words that he felt led of Jesus to say to that man, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. You know what? Jesus never said that. Well, hallelujah. It's the same way, my friend, with the Spirit of God in our lives. God has His Bible written. God had the prophet to come and bring us a message. But there's many decisions in mine and your life. We will not find a direct quote that tells us what to do. We will not find a direct scripture that tells us what to do. He could have done it that way, but He wants you and I to walk with Him in such a personal walk that He can lead us by His Spirit. That He can lead us by the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. Why? Because He wants you not to be a robot. This is not a mechanical church that we push and play and fast forward and this and that. It is an everyday walk with God. Truly, there have been few decisions since the dawn of man's existence on the earth that would affect so many as this one on the way to Damascus. May I move into a little shack? I see another small man there praying. He's praying in confusion. He's praying with sincerity, praying to find answers. While he's there praying, a light shines upon the floor, and a man steps out of that light. About 200 pounds, dark hair, olive complexion. I am sent from the presence of Almighty God. And as soon as I heard him speak, I knew that's the one I'd heard all my life. Glory to God. What was it? Another junction of time to where a predestinated seed must respond to the call of God. There's no way he could know. There's no way that he saw when it was. I just don't believe it. I just don't believe that he fully comprehended it all then. All the millions that would be affected by that decision. It was a decision ordained by the supernatural power of God. Yet it was placed in the hands of a mortal. Remember when he was there in Clifton's cafeteria in 1961, and Danny Henry puts his arms around him and says, "God bless you, Brother Branham," and he begins to speak in French, and then the people sitting back there hear it in French, and they stand and said, That was perfectly French. You write down what he said. You write down what he said. Three of them come and they write down what he said. Oh my! Because of this momentous decision, he said, "I could see that," because Moses had to make his mind up. Moses had to make his decision. Well, you said, "Brother Don, I didn't think you believed in free and moral agency." Well, who told you that lie? I do believe in free and moral agency, and it's simply you and I finally getting our hard head under God's will. It's finally getting us to agree with what he had in his mind before the foundation of the world. God done knew Brother Branham would say that. He done knew Paul would do it. He knew you would come up to the altar and say, "Lord, I give you my heart." He said, "Well, it's about time. I've done decreed that before the foundation of the world, and you just now walked into it." Oh, how many millions of lives would be affected. How many folks that would be healed. How many blinded eyes would come open. But not only that, how many of the multitudes and the masses around the world would have a message in the evening time that was not like what Oral Roberts brought. It was not like what A.A. Allen preached and Jack Coe. It was a message. As I said last week, he didn't leave us a university. They never named a bridge after him. They never named a highway. You won't go through Asheville and find the William Branham Highway like you'll find the Billy Graham Highway. Amen. But God gave him a love for his people and an understanding of the word. What for? To turn our hearts back to the original word, that our faith could be rallied around the person of the Lord Jesus. This is why the prophet could read this same scripture and title his sermon, "I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision." God never called me by vision. But most of his brothers here, God never called us by vision. I didn't need it. That's not who I am. It's not my calling, God. I'm not a prophet. But this one needed it. So did ours. Notice in verse 20, "But showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem." Now, as I said, God, with his sense of humor, he didn't save Paul in the church, didn't save him in the temple, didn't save him in Jerusalem. He saved him in a Gentile city. His first sermons was actually preached in a Gentile city. Amen. "First unto them of Damascus and of Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance." Oh my. Notice in Acts chapter 9, verse 19. "When he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then Saul certain days was with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway." I mean, where'd he go to school? There ain't no way this guy could just get saved. I mean, just with the disciples a few days. Don't you understand what God does? This is a special case now, I know. But it's like it must have been that David clicked. He's looking for all the prophecies, the messianic prophecies of the Old Testament. And no doubt he knew them so well, Brother Rob. He knew them so well. But when God turned the line on, it's just like, boop. And all of a sudden, everywhere he looked, he saw Jesus. And he said, "I got to tell somebody. I got to tell somebody. I'm about to explode. All this about Isaiah. You mean what Isaiah said? Oh my goodness, no. All that Jeremiah said. All that Ezekiel said. Oh my goodness, Jeremiah 23. Oh no, Isaiah 7:14. Isaiah 9:6. Isaiah 35:3. Zechariah 6:12. Genesis 3:1-15. You mean that was him? That was him. Oh, I'm going to go tell somebody. Praise God. Oh my, and straightway he preached Christ. Now before he had preached Moses. A lot of these brothers in the message that get the Holy Ghost said preach Christ more. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Amen. You get a good baptism of the pillar of fire, you'll refer to Moses. You'll thank God for Moses, but you're going to preach Christ. What is Christ? The anointed word. It's good to refer back to those things that he done. It's good to point forward to what he's going to do. But I'm going to have eyes to see him right now. Oh, my. Notice this. He says, straightway preach Christ in the synagogues that he is the Logos, the Son of God. Harry, he saw it. He saw it. Christ. Christ was the very Son, heart of God. How could I have not seen it before? This is it. You imagine? This man was born in a day. It's like he just totally turned around. And all them scriptures. Lord, have mercy, children. You think sometimes you're coming to church, well, I didn't get nothing. It was a pretty good service. It was all right. You know, I mean, Brother Donnie said some good things, and I enjoyed it. Do you understand what all these services are? Storing up mechanics. It's getting all the switches in the right places and getting everything hooked up electrically and atomically and getting everything, all the mechanics all lined down. And then we're waiting for that baptism of the Holy Ghost or the refilling of the Holy Ghost. And when that hits the church, Lord have mercy. You know what? It'll be like Paul. We'll turn around and go this way. We're not going into Damascus. I mean, we're going up. But you know what we're doing right now? Storing up mechanics. And we get a little urge of that rocket fuel every now and then. Praise God. Hallelujah. It kind of, you know, shakes us up a little bit. You wait till it falls down, brother. You wait till the hour arrives. All these mechanics on Wednesday night and Saturday night and Sunday morning. And you listen to tapes and you're praying and reading your Bible. And the devil says, you ain't getting nothing. Say, shut up. I am getting something too. I'm getting my wiring straightened out. I'm getting my mechanics lined out. I'm waiting for the rocket fuel. Oh, hallelujah. What do they do when them shuttles go out there? Them shuttles can stand out there for days and days and days. But they only put the fuel in just a little while before liftoff. Amen. They got to watch the weather. They got to watch the signs. Because once they get the fuel in, they can't take it out. Oh, praise the Lord. He's watching Russia. He's watching the bride. He's watching the foolish virgin. He'll fill this church when the hour is right. Listen, I'm sorry, I went a little long today. This is the slow part. Moving that big rocket ship out on the launching pad. You don't want Mario Andretti driving that truck. You don't want A.J. Foyt, Richard Petty. You want some of them guys driving that truck. You want somebody to know they got a load back there and they got to move his church, I mean move his rocket real slow. Glory. Oh, praise God. It ain't no wonder that in a few moments we'll get into it, Lord willing, next time. Festus looks at Paul and says, Paul, you are crazy. Much learning has made you mad. And he said, I'm not mad. But I speak of those things which I know and have seen. You say, you poor message people, you're so deceived, you're so crazy. We're not crazy. We're speaking of those things which we know and what we have seen. I wasn't in Tucson. I didn't see the cloud. I didn't see this and that and the other and all that. But I can speak about what I've seen. I've seen our Lord heal the sick and raise the dead. Some of you were dead. I was dead. But we're alive by the power of God. I can speak in witness of what I've seen. Can't you? We can see what our Lord has done. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I tried to explain all this back in 75 years. I can't explain all that. I don't know how it all ties together. But I know this. This man's a sinner. Give God the praise. This man's a sinner. We know where he come from. But one of my favorite New Testament characters said, now this is a strange thing. This is a strange thing. You don't know where he come from, and he opened my eyes, and it had never been done since the foundation of the world. Now, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But John 9:31, but we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of him and doeth his will, him he heareth. Him he heareth. Amen. Hallelujah. And they cast him out. And when Jesus had heard that they cast him out, he came unto him which was blind and said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of Man? He said, who is he, Lord, that I may? He said, it is he that speaks with you. He said, I believe. I believe. Hallelujah. This is why I can't be talked out of this. Because Jesus himself has come to me in a personal way, isn't he? You? Do you believe on the Son of Man? Who is he that I may be able to know who he is? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not a historical God. He's a living God. He wants to indwell you. He wants to move among you. I believe. I believe. Oh, he's a church book. You join this and you recite that and you wear a robe and you say, that ain't Jesus. Well, you got to believe this certain doctrine. You got to repeat the Apostles' Creed so many times. It wasn't an Apostles' Creed that died for me. It wasn't a doctrine that died. It wasn't a doctrine that got up out of the grave. It was a person. I ain't looking for a doctrine to come out of heaven. I'm looking for a person. Amen. It wasn't a doctrine that went in me. It was a person.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. And Agrippa, after hearing this, Agrippa says, Paul, thou almost persuadest me to be a Christian. But almost ain't good enough, is it? We're not playing horseshoes. You either do or you don't. Praise God. Aren't you glad you're not almost persuaded? You are. I am persuaded. Not almost. Let's pray together. Praise God. Praise God. And remember, each one of you, you must have your experience with God too. Will yours be like Paul's? More than likely not. Will the light come to you in the pillar of fire? Probably not visibly, no. But the Donnie, will I run or I shout? You might. You might not. But you'll look and see your life will be changed. Your life will agree with this word. Whether you understand it or not now, the Spirit within you will say, Lord, I believe what you said. As Peter and them said that day, when Jesus said, you want to leave? People leaving him everywhere. Jesus turns around and said, you all want to leave? Peter said, Lord, where could we go? You've got the words of eternal life. And we believe and are convinced that you are the Christ. Amen. How many wants to be that convinced and not in your heart? Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for these precious passages of Scripture. Lord, this has been preached for 2,000 years now. No doubt it was rehearsed in the first century by the believers, initially spread around by word of mouth because they didn't have the New Testament written. So by the time that many of the first century Christians, many of them had done left before the New Testament was actually ever even put together. The book of James, supposedly Corinthians, 59, 60 AD, one of the first New Testament books written. So many of those first century Christians never even had a New Testament. But what they had was a living word. So the preachers would come around and preach. The prophet gives us the example of it in Taking Sides of Jesus, 1962, and he lays out the apostolic church, that they'd start a church, and then from there, other men would be called of God, and they'd go out of that church, and they'd go down the road somewhere, another community, and they'd feel led, and they'd start another church, and then kept on going and going and going, till it growed and growed. Oh Lord Jesus, here we are today. We've been blessed by you to have the Old and the New Testament. Not only that, but to have these sermons recorded, kept alive for us on magnetic tape of your prophet. We can be able to go back in 1947, from there to 1965, and your sermons and discernments, miracles, supernatural occurrences, recorded in such a way that had never been recorded since the dawn of creation. We thank you for it, Lord. But yet, Lord, what good would it do if we only lived in a yesteryear? And if we just play those tapes and say, oh my, it'd been wonderful to live back there. But yet our faith was never quickened to believe that you can do those same things today. Praise God. Lord, as I just read a text before I come out from a preacher who said that not long ago, one of the sisters in his church was diagnosed with cancer of the breast. It was so far gone that the doctor said there's no hope. Yet she came up for prayer and went back to the doctors. Hallelujah. And the doctors could not figure out what happened because it was gone. Hallelujah. That's not just one certain man with one certain church with one certain doctrine. That's in amongst your body, Lord, your believers. Hallelujah. That's what you want to be. You don't want to just be recorded on the tapes of 47 and 48 and 65 that you used to do it. Oh, it encourages us when we hear those sermons many, many years ago. But Lord, it encourages us when we hear that you done it last Sunday. When we hear you done it last week. You moved Wednesday night and done this and that and the other. Lord, just from the service a few Wednesday nights ago when the healer come through here. Lord, a sister up in Canada, sick of a migraine, been in bed for several days. Lord Jesus, when that anointing come through here, streaming the service, and she heard it when the word said, Jesus, the healer just passed through. The healer moved through Canada and touched her body, raised her up. The brother, Lord, down in Georgia, Lord, I don't know how many that I've heard in the last few weeks, the healer passed by. Carol said, it's amazing. The healer passed by in Johnson City and the after effects was felt all over the world. Hallelujah. Because you're not only the healer in Johnson City, you're the healer all over the world. Wherever your people can believe you, Lord. We love you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord. We believe you, Father. Amen. Praise your holy name, Lord. We worship you, mighty God. You love him, saints, with all your heart. Can we just raise our hands in the presence of the King? Oh, my. He's so worthy of our praise. Praise the Lord Jesus. We bless your name, Holy Father. How grateful we are, Lord, to know you. Lord, this would be wonderful tonight if we read this as a historical value and it would say, oh, that must have been wonderful to live in the days of the apostles and the days of Jesus. As the prophet said it like this so many times, he said, oh, I love to live in the days of Jesus. He said, you are. You are living in the days of Jesus. If we could understand it, Lord, we're living in the days of Jesus right now. It's Jesus on the earth in the form of his bride, in the form of his body. Hallelujah. Doing the same works that he said he would do. These signs shall follow them that believe. Hallelujah. How many times did you pass by that man that sat at the gate beautiful? The scripture said he sat there for years. How many times did you pass him by, but you left him? Because you said, one day my boys is going to come through here. I want them to display my same power. Hallelujah to God. Lord Jesus, we believe you're the same God tonight. Amen. Lord, we love you, Father. Not just natural healing, but healings, Lord, of all ill feelings. miracles of restoring broken relationships and broken friendships and battered homes. You're a God of supernatural. We love you, Lord. Minister to your people tonight, Father, we ask. We worship you, Lord Jesus. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. Amen. Can we worship him just a little bit before we go? Oh my, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. We bless your holy name. Praise God. Hallelujah. The tempter's power is broken when Jesus comes. Oh, Lord Jesus, would you pass by this way again tonight, Lord? Whatever the needs of your people are, mighty God. For those that are streaming wherever they are, may the presence of God come their way tonight, Lord. Sick or weary or down, whatever they need, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's worship him now. Yes, Lord.
Mighty God. You are awesome in this place. Abba, Father.
Yes, Lord.
You are worthy. Place, mighty God, you are awesome in this place, Abba Father, you are worthy of all praise, to you our lives we raise, you are awesome in this place.
Let's sing it again, saints.
Past the gates of praise, into your sanctuary, till we're standing face to face. Look upon your countenance, I see the fullness of your grace. I can only bow down and say, place.
I'm so glad I crossed over in time.
Charles Johnson wasn't around when Paul got saved. But I imagine in the first century, if Charles Johnson had been back there and he'd have wrote that song, you'd have heard Paul come from Damascus and he'd say, I'm so glad I crossed over the line. Oh, I'm so glad I crossed over the line. The line that separates the darkness from the again. Oh, I'm so glad I've crossed over the line. I'm so glad I've crossed over the line that separates darkness from the light. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Ain't it been good to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise be to God. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you, saints. The youth banquet will be Friday night. We're having service, of course, Saturday and Sunday. We're having communion service on Saturday night. Let's just come expecting the Lord to speak to us once again. Amen. I just love Him so much, don't you? Let's bow our heads together. Father, we love You so much. We thank You for Your word tonight and Your presence. Thank You for once again, Lord, coming by our way, as we say. Thank You for being so mindful of us, Father. We just ask that You go with us now, Lord. We depart from one another, but never depart out of Your presence. We look forward to the youth banquet Friday and then the weekend that You're going to give us, Father. We just come with expectation in our hearts and believing that You're going to meet with us once again. We love You so much. We look forward to the communion service Saturday, Lord. How fitting. You know, I like to wait and pray and wait for the right time and find the message that I think will coincide with being able to have communion. And Lord, I believe it'll be wonderful. I just pray that You'd meet with us, Lord Jesus. Go with us now. Keep us, Father God. Your great power we ask. In the name of the Lord Jesus. The saints said,
amen.
God bless you. Let's just sing it as we go. I'm so glad I've crossed over the line. Oh, I'm so glad I crossed over the line that separates darkness from the light. Oh,